I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Thursday, well, get closer to the holiday weekend. In fact, maybe your company is like our company. Now, this never applies to us. We work despite the holidays, and I don't mind it. I honestly do not mind working holidays. But for those people who work in the office and who aren't on the programming side, our holiday as a company begins at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. And so I realized as I was getting ready to submit my invoice, so every 2 weeks, we have to submit an invoice for extra work that we're doing on the side. And so I was thinking, oh, man, I got to get it in before the office closes so that I don't miss out on getting paid for the work that I'm doing. So, a lot of you may be in the same boat. Your company's maybe closing down early on this Thursday afternoon. It's kind of a getaway day. We don't have those right now in baseball, so we've got it for the holiday weekend. And, of course, the official holiday is marked on a Friday this year because Independence Day is Saturday. And I don't know. I don't feel quite as blah about the holiday as I did about Memorial Day because it was just another manic Monday. There was nothing special, at least in my corner of the world, about Memorial Day weekend. I mean, I did have a friend that was visiting, but otherwise it was same old as it had been for a couple of months. There was nothing distinct about that Monday. Except that I had closed on my house the Friday before. But I mean, in terms of the work schedule or having the time away or anything like that. I don't quite feel the same about July 4th. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I love Independence Day. And I guess I feel like there's more excitement, there's more energy around July 4th than there was about around Memorial Day. Though honestly, if you look back to Memorial Day, that's kind of where a lot of places started to see the numbers on the rise, the virus numbers. And so maybe it's better that we don't have another holiday weekend. I'm not sure. So we'll see. I mean, the same kind of responsibility I was talking about with Major League Baseball players and basketball players and at some point football players. We as Americans, more broadly, also need to bear some responsibility too. And I had a friend say to me recently, I don't care so much about the virus in terms of, you know, worrying about getting it. So I'm not worried for myself and my own safety. But he said, I'm ticked that there are people walking around out there and not taking it seriously because it puts football in jeopardy. So that was his perspective. Even those people who are out there who couldn't care less about football, he's mad because they're putting the football season in jeopardy. And I suppose to some extent, indirectly, that is the case. If the virus numbers are not controlled, or if, you know, we see this incredible surge again, and by surge, I'm looking more at the death numbers, like the death rate. So there's a lot of people getting the virus. There's also a lot of young people who are either asymptomatic or they're not dying from it. They're recovering from it. But if we start to see those numbers of people dying from the virus go up again and, you know, drastic rates, I mean, it's not only tragic, but we could end up where we were a few months ago. And so, I mean, it's not all about football, but it was kind of funny to hear his perspective as a diehard sports fan. Like, stop putting my football in jeopardy. Go wear your mask. It's a little bit twisted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. As I say, good morning to you. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. As we march toward Independence Day, I can hear the bugles. As we march toward the celebration of our nation's birthday, we're doing four for the fourth. So four different categories that I think highlight some of the unique and wonderful qualities about the United States. And I appreciate those of you who are playing along. And in light of what the most popular answer turned out to be for yesterday's question, which was America's pastime, we talked eating and food, and that was probably the most popular answer. Not necessarily like gorging ourselves, but just we're fascinated with food. And especially during the pandemic, as one listener pointed out, she said, we're all about takeout. We're all about menus. We're all about going to the grocery store. We're all about when our restaurants are going to open up again. So yeah, it's something that we're definitely missing is the ability to go out and go to restaurants in many cases. And so, I thought our third question, our third July 4th question, should be about food. And then as I was was having dinner with some friends, so I did take out with some friends and got to hang out with some good friends of mine on Wednesday evening. We were initially going to order from our favorite Thai restaurant because that's kind of what we do. It's our thing. We always do the same thing. But then we called to place the order and they were closed, weirdly enough, for 12 days. I have no idea why, but they were. There was no reason given. So we couldn't order from our favorite Thai restaurant. So then we start tossing out options. What else is there? And do you know, here's what came out of our mouths. There's Mexican. There's the Italian joint. Oh, wait, there's another Italian joint. There's Chinese. There's a Japanese steakhouse. Like, yada, yada. And we go on and we name all of these other ethnicities and their food. But at no point, I mean, I did mention a deli. At no point did we say anything about, well, this restaurant's American food. So what is American food? The best I can come up with is beef. Beef, that's American food. But what else would you say are distinctly American foods to celebrate our nation's birthday? Unique American foods, and maybe some of them you'll be eating this weekend if you're having to do a barbecue or getting together with family and friends. What are the foods that you would serve someone who comes from across the globe and knows nothing about our American culture and wants to try American foods? We borrow a lot of foods from other cultures, which is great. I mean, I'm half Italian, half Polish. I feel like I've got the cross-section of the best foods out there. But come on, we've got to have some foods that are ours, right? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, foods. What are they? And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Did you see this headline? The NBA is reportedly going to fork out $150 million to keep this Orlando bubble operating. $150 million. That's how much it will cost them. And that's a rough estimate. Think about it. 1,500 people is what they'll start with. Now, they won't stay at that number because once they get into the first round of the playoffs specifically, you're going to have a bunch of teams and their travel parties get eliminated. So it won't stay that way, but that's a lot of money that they're going to fork over. And I mean, if you got 137 page protocol, well, then I suppose you better make sure you've got the money to back it up and to make it feasible. But that's roughly $100,000 per person who starts out in this bubble. That's how much the NBA is estimating it will cost to create the space where basketball can operate. And they're looking at it over the course of 3 months, okay? So they're taking it from the seeding games, these quote unquote seeding games that are the end of the regular season. It's more really like just a run up to get these guys some basketball before they jump into the playoffs. But on into the postseason, the first round, and then moving into an NBA Finals that could take until mid-October. But we're talking 22 teams at the start, plus all their support staff. And the travel parties are 35 people. And again, once they get to the point where it's maybe four teams, it's the conference finals, they're going to allow family members, potentially other staffers to join because they're going to have plenty of space. You know, so if it's possible, they're going to, you know, allow some other people inside the bubble as teams vacate. But 22 teams, three resorts at Disney, seven practice courts, three different arenas where they will play. Then think about the food, the daily testing, and it's going to be exorbitant, like meticulous testing. The medical support they have to bring in to make sure that they're doing the proper health and safety checks. Security, the transportation, and then, of course, the entertainment. Remember Doc Rivers not that long ago was talking about how they're going to outfit their lounge with all kinds of games and toys and everything else. And so when they start, it's 1,500 people. And we're talking $150 million that the NBA is willing to shell out to feel like they can create the space where basketball can, in fact, operate. I mean, that's a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of things, if the NBA can, in fact, succeed and can get through this bubble and finish up its season, they will make far more money in return. Now, they may not operate in the black this year, but they definitely will make money on the TV revenue that they won't be able to make up anywhere else. No, they can't sell tickets, and that's certainly a big deal. But that TV money is where the bulk of the league's revenue comes from, especially in the postseason. And so, yeah, they'll do 88 regular season games, four rounds of the playoffs, and they feel like by doing this, at least they're recouping some of their investment and they're making some of that money back. Just goodness. I mean, it's not very many corporations, if you consider the NBA as a corporation, that can, in fact, put that kind of money up front and say, you know, we'll throw money at the problem. But the NBA can, the NFL can, the NHL can, Major League Baseball can. I mean, they're going to have to do this testing thing themselves, too, even though they're not in a bubble. So these sports leagues, the owners can come up with this money to be able to try to address every problem. I mean, money doesn't fix everything, but it certainly helps if you have this kind of money. But think about the corporations around the country that haven't been able to withstand the virus. A lot of businesses going under, even big businesses. We're not just talking about small mom and pop businesses, but major corporations who can't survive. And here is the NBA throwing $150 million at the problem. Wowzers. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Do you believe that the players will follow the rules? I love that Damian Lillard always says it like he feels, and he just kind of gets out with it. And he's not so sure that guys will, in fact, toe the line.
My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules? Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's pretty pointed from Dame, who is a very recognizable voice and influence in the NBA. If you remember, he was a guy going back even before, as they were considering various options and ways to bring the NBA back. He was really vocal in saying, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to just play to play out the string. If you're not going to give the Blazers, my team, and other teams the chance to actually compete to get into the playoffs, to maybe recoup or try to make up for those regular season games that were canceled when we could have made a move, then I'm not going to show up. It's pointless. Which, you know, according to the various people inside the NBA that we've talked to, Dame's comments went a long way toward getting to the model that we've got now, which is 22 teams, not just the 16 that were already kind of slotted in, you know, to those playoff spots. And he says, my confidence ain't great. You've got guys who can't follow the rules even when there are no restrictions. They still find ways to run amok. He didn't say that. That would be my paraphrasing. I wonder if Dame has ever said amok in his life. I don't say amok very often, but it just kind of came out. But he says, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow the rules. So I don't have much confidence. But then he circles back to, I hope that guys will take responsibility, that we will not put everybody at risk or put them in a dangerous position. Maybe there's enough respect. Maybe after hearing this over and over and over and over again, these guys will recognize it's not just about you. It's also about your teammates. It's about the opponents and the guys on the other teams. It's about the whole kit and caboodle. Also something I don't say very often. It's about the whole shebang. I am on a roll. and could all topple down. I mean, it could be over that quickly if there's an outbreak inside the bubble, because they won't be able to stop it. I mean, they might catch it, you know, and then that's the point of the testing. But man, if there is, you know, an outbreak inside this bubble with the contact sport, I mean, it just takes one game for it just to go boom and spread like wildfire. And the way they're doing their testing, they actually arrive in Orlando starting Tuesday, and they're going to get tested. They have to isolate then and quarantine for up to 48 hours and then get tested again. And that's when you can enter the bubble. So we're talking about the most critical stage of all of this is coming up right after the holiday weekend. At this point, no interaction between the outside world. You know, it's essentially completely closed off. Once they get past the first round of the playoffs, there'll be family members who are allowed in, or, you know, significant others. They'll maybe the travel parties will be expanded to allow other members of the teams. Maybe it's broadcasters, whatever it happens to be. But initially, this is the most critical time. These guys, if they're not virus free, getting to the point where they're healthy and they're over it, getting tested in Orlando, 48 hours, nothing, just hunker down. And then if you're tested and you're negative, you're allowed in the bubble. So important, because if there are too many guys that have it, I mean, again, the whole thing could just go up in smoke really quickly. I don't know how many more cliches I have. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more. And I think when I hear guys say that it's going to be really tough to win this year, kind of different things come to mind. Number one, with all this time off, you don't know if teams are going to come back in the same rhythm and flow that they were. We don't know that the Lakers, although it does appear they may have been practicing on the side, but we don't know if some of these teams that were in a great rhythm, like the Lakers, like the Bucks, are going to be able to pick up right where they left off and to go in house ablazing, right? So that's kind of the idea behind the regular season games, is give them a chance to find their sea legs and get some contact before they step into the playoffs. So there's that element to it where I kind of feel like it could be a free-for-all. So even if you are an extreme favorite, you know, that no home court advantage, no fans, I mean, it just changes everything. But also the fact that it is so unique and that there's going to be challenges outside of the basketball. I mean, there's adversity that comes from off the court as well. And so as Giannis says, this is going to be the toughest title to win. I kind of appreciate that, because we may never see anything like this again.
A lot of people say that, you know, there's going to be, how you guys say, the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, it's going to be the toughest, like, championship you could ever win, because, like, the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more, is going to be able to go out there and take it.
Well, and if you want it bad enough, then you have to be willing to stay in the bubble and to follow the rules, even if Dame isn't confident. If you want it bad enough, that's a sacrifice you have to make. So I appreciate that from Giannis. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. What are America's finest foods? What foods would you say are ours here in the good old US of A? On Twitter or Facebook, and then we'll get to some of your answers as we head up toward the top of the hour on this Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here is Sabonis spinning away from Giannis. Out to the corner, steal by Sterling Brown. Giannis leaking out. Slam dunk. And a timeout by Nate McMillan. This thing has drifted away from the Indiana Pacers. Giannis up to 29. And a timeout with 5:06 to play. Bucks 115 and the Pacers 87.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ted Davis on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network. We don't actually know if broadcasters will be allowed inside the bubble. Initially, probably not, only because there are very few travel parties who can make room for their broadcasters. And so a lot of them will be calling games off monitors. So essentially watching from a studio somewhere and doing the games remotely, like we're doing our radio show remotely. But maybe at the point at which they start to weed teams out. So, you know, you cut the teams in half by the time you get through the first round of the playoffs. So maybe at that point, then they might be able to welcome in some broadcasters. I have a friend who works for NBA on the national level and does games. And he told me that there is an increasing possibility that he may end up in the Orlando bubble. And so that'll be really interesting because, I mean, I know guys and, you know, can say some of these guys inside the NBA are acquaintances, but to have one of my best friends inside that bubble, whoo, we'd have a lifeline to all kinds of cool information. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more, 855-212-4227. I think we need to come to an understanding. I got a new rule. You may remember that there are house rules here at After Hours, and maybe at some point before the week is over, we'll remind you of the house rules. One of them is no LOL. No. It's my pet peeve. I can't stand it. But that's just one of them. There are others. I feel like I need to add a new house rule. From this point forward, there is no complaining about the quality of sports. No complaining. Let's use the NFL as an example. We do not get to complain about how bad the football is at the start of the season if there's no preseason games. Negative, Ghost Rider. We are not allowed to complain because at the very least, we're only going to have two preseason games. So at the very least, the league is planning to chop off the first game and chop off the fourth game. All right, so we'll be left with weeks 2 and 3. That obviously would change how much playing time the veterans get on the field. And we know more and more in the NFL these days, veterans choose to stay away during the preseason. Why take the risk? They don't need the reps. Why take the risk? The Players Association is reportedly interested in no preseason games. As in their first time on the field against other competition would be their season openers. Now, I know many of us would tell you that the preseason is too long, but I do think the preseason is necessary. And I don't know that I think it's a great idea to completely eliminate all preseason games if for no other reason than I believe they need a game day dress rehearsal. I think because of all the health and safety checks, because of the testing that is going to come into bear in the days leading up to a game, because of how stringent the protocols and how extensive, I mean, think about it. 54 man active roster, right? Under the new CBA, 54 man active roster, not to mention the practice squads and everybody else, the coaching staff, some of whom have high risk guys on them because of their age, the officials, the game day security. I mean, there's so many people that are involved in putting a game on the field on a Thursday, Sunday, or Monday. I was going to say Sunday, but obviously it doesn't cover it. I mean, game day itself is an extensive operation. So then think about how many tests have to be taken. Think about how many follow-up health and safety protocols. It's massive undertaking. Every single stadium for every single game. I don't think it's wise to go into that without having at least one weekend where you can try it on for size, where you can practice it. Just so you know what's coming. That way you're less likely to have flubs and mistakes, and things are less likely to fall through the cracks. Let's just try it once. If for no other reason, again, that it's a dress rehearsal for the real thing. But if the reports are true and the union wants to wipe out the preseason, these guys will have had zero reps on the field against someone other than their own teammates, which means, and we know this is a thing, right? Because a lot of times people complain about the quality of the football in the first month. I mean, it could be 2 months before they really get into a rhythm and a groove. So September and October could look sloppy. Then you throw in the fact that there are no OTAs this year, no rookie camps or mini camps, no in-person practices, unless, of course, you're Tom Brady. But there are none of these opportunities that they've had in the past. And so they get to training camp. It's going to be long. It's going to be, there are going to be no joint practices whatsoever if there are no games. The football is going to suffer. Let's be honest. The football is going to suffer. But here's the rule. No complaining. None. If we get a football season, that's good enough for me. We're going to love it. We're going to not take it for granted. And we're not going to complain about it, because after a spring in which we lost so many of our great sporting events, I hope we've learned our lesson that, in fact, we cannot take these things for granted. So if there's a football season, I will relish every single fumble. I will be excited about every single sloppy play, every single game that has a score of 7-6 at halftime. That's the rule. No complaining if we get football this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish is with us from his super secret anchor location. So, Andrew, remember yesterday we were talking about America's pastime, and you and I kind of agreed that eating and talking about food, that's one of our great pastimes here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I ought to that end, I thought our next July 4th question should be, what are America's foods? What foods do we claim as our own? Because how often, maybe you do this with your family too. Hey, what do you guys want to do for takeout? Italian, Mexican, Chinese, like, what do you want to do? Thai is my favorite. So I'm trying to figure out which foods are uniquely American, or the ones that we can claim as ours. Beef is the one I've come up with. That's kind of it.
But yeah, but you don't ever say, like, I want beef, right? I mean, you don't, like, announce that, like, when you're saying, like,
where's the beef?
What should we order? Beef. Okay, we need to narrow that down. So I would go specifically, like, a cheeseburger is ours. And, like, I feel like steak is out. And then barbecue is also an American thing, too. So, like, there's your three subdivisions of beef / meat.
Is there another food? So someone called in and said buffalo wings, which I thought was brilliant. I really love that. Yeah. But is there another food that you would say, like, someone comes to you from halfway across the globe, hey, I really want to eat some American food. What would you recommend?
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, I'd have to find, like, a peanut butter cheeseburger somewhere to really show off our culinary expertise. See, I'm also a big sandwich guy, so if I took somebody to, like, an Italian deli and got, you know, eight different kinds of meat and provolone and, like, roasted red peppers and whatever you want to put on top of that on a big loaf of Italian bread, like, that feels like America to me, but from an Italian deli on Italian bread with meats named in Italian, so I'm not sure if that counts.
Okay, Chris, if you want to jump on too, Chris and I had this conversation earlier. Is pizza American, or is it Italian, or belonging to a different culture? Because people are saying pizza is American.
I think there is a version of pizza that is American because it's not the way it was made originally and brought to this country from Italy. So I think we have definitely Americanized pizza, yes.
Okay, good. Kristen, do you feel like pizza's ours?
The pizza we know and love is American pizza. It is red-blooded American pizza. But the pizza from Italy and other parts of the globe is also pizza, but it's not American pizza.
No, it's not the same. So thin crust or deep dish? Which one are we talking about? Both?
Both apply, yeah, sure. Chicago style, New York style, Detroit style, it's all good.
Wait, what's Detroit style pizza?
Like square.
Oh. And I think a little less deep dish than deep dish Chicago. It's definitely, like, it's Sicilian-ish. Like, it's thicker, with the one I've had that's been described as Detroit pizza.
Interesting.
It's not exactly thin crust, not exactly deep dish either.
Do you think the Italians would ever put pineapple on their pizza?
maybe not pineapple and ham. Maybe one or the other. I don't know.
Maybe pig is American. Can we claim pig as American?
Yeah, pork? Pig or pork. I don't know if we want to claim pigs as American. Maybe pork, though.
No, we have to, I think. Both apply.
Now, these are my favorite conversations. All about the food. I love it. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A little bit about the PGA Tour and how it survived its 3 weeks. That's coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We will continuously reinforce to all players, caddies, staff members, and support personnel on property at PGA Tour events to adhere to social distancing and other safety protocols that further minimize risk.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan, who's been very present and very active and very vocal as the tour has re-entered the arena with these three tournaments in 3 weeks. And while they've had a couple of hiccups, they've earned some rave reviews. So what happens now? They move forward. They've got Detroit. In about a month, they're trying to ramp up for the PGA Championship and an actual major. But they've got to be careful between now and then, same as the other sports, so that they can get to that point and still be operating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Earlier in the show, we had a chance to catch up with DraftKings PGA Tour analyst Reed Fowler. And we talked about a lot with him, Tiger Woods, the gambling aspect. Believe it or not, the match, too, with Phil, Tiger, Brady, and Peyton was the most gambled upon event ever for the DraftKings app. Can you believe that? Bigger than football, bigger than anything. The most gambled event that DraftKings has ever had. Anyway, so that's all part of the conversation with Reed. You can catch that on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. But I want to give you a little snippet about golf and these last 3 weeks. So I started out just asking him his opinion of how their re-entry has gone to this point.
Yeah, I think it's a situation that has never happened before. It's unprecedented. So going into these things with a plan, I think the one thing that that every association, every professional association, whether it be sports or just in jobs, you have to be able to adapt to the situation. And, you know, with Jay Monahan, with these tests that have come through, you know, they're in terms of the larger number, you may think, well, it's just a couple of guys here and there, but at the same time, one person is enough, right, to start to reassess on the protocols and the testing. So that's something that I've appreciated from Jay Monahan with, hey, if we need to include more testing, if it's at certain junctures where it's becoming more of an issue, then let's do that. And so adapting to the situation, I think, is something that you have to appreciate. But it's a fluid situation. As long as things are safe, you know, you're kind of hoping that it does stay safe, but at the same time, I'm sure he'll change it if need be.
It's interesting to see golf without fans. And while it is more of a game that lends itself to the stretches of quiet, what's been your perspective as you watch it with no galleries?
Yeah, I think some of the guys have mentioned it, right? It's different when it's Sunday evening and you're coming down the stretch, and usually you see on the 18th hole, especially at Travelers, last week, it's usually just, you know, it's a sea of people, and it's that stadium type seating and the grandstand surrounding it. So that looks a little different, but I got to be honest, I don't mind not hearing a guy saying, get in the hole on the par five after a tee shot. That's actually something that I don't miss, although it's fun to hear, like, you know, as a golf fan, it's funny the first time, but the 100th time you hear on a par five, it kind of gets a little old. So that's kind of nice. And, you know, you're starting to hear. You hear a little bit more of the back and forth with the caddies and the golfers, and that's always fun to hear. If you're a golf fan, hearing them think through a shot is always very interesting. We don't usually get to hear that, so that's been fun.
What about the competition? We've seen a lot of the top golfers in the world take advantage of this restart. What have you seen so far in the actual golf?
Yeah, in the top five playing in these tournaments that they usually don't, right? So Rory, Rahm, Dustin Johnson, JT, Brooks, They usually don't play well. You know, DJ usually plays at the RBC because that's one of his sponsors, but they usually don't play these tournaments. That we see these shorter courses, these par 70s, and there's always been that discussion about, well, we're lengthening the golf course to make it more difficult, but then guys like Bryson put on 25 pounds of muscle and are driving the ball 370 yards. That's not really what potentially makes it more difficult. And so that was an argument out there, right, in sort of the golf world and the industry saying, well, shorten the courses and it's going to make it more difficult. But we've seen now these guys like Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau do well. But then that also includes players like Webb Simpson, who won the RBC Heritage, that you don't necessarily have to be a long hitter to do well. Rory McIlroy, one of the longest hitters, one of the best players off the tee, hasn't done well over the past couple of weeks. And so it allowed us to see that the great golfers, the great ball strikers are always going to be up top. You don't necessarily have to hit it a ton, but it's pretty fun to see these top guys play these other tournaments.
Actually, I thought it was really cool to see Phil Mickelson, right after he turned 50, put on this incredible performance in the first two rounds of the Travelers, where he's in the low 60s.
Yeah, and it's vintage Phil, right, to come out and to do that when a lot of us look at Phil and saying exactly that. Well, he's 50 years old. He hasn't really done much over the past, you know, half dozen months. And we don't know. Is this the end of Phil? And he comes back with those aviator shades. You know, he played in the match with Tiger and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And then he comes out and he does that. You know, he faltered a little bit on the weekend. So we see that maybe fatigue was setting in or what have you. But for the first 2 days, we saw Phil back like we used to see Phil.
Who doesn't want to see Phil Mickelson win on the PGA Tour after the age of 50? That would be so classic, Phil. good to talk to Reed Fowler from DraftKings, PGA Tour analyst. And if you want to hear the rest of that conversation where we do talk about the whole gambling aspect of golf and how it's kind of fitting into this pocket here, and there's been so much traffic since it returned. And golf's got some challenges that it's facing. They're, again, trying to get to the more high-profile events a little bit later on the schedule. And so, similar to what I was saying about the NFL preseason, while these are actual events that do count with real money and real winners and real points, these are not the majors. And golf is trying to get to the point where its highest-profile events are running smoothly. And so to work out the kinks now, to try to figure out which protocols fit perfectly, la 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 la. These events are important for that reason. And I think the NFL could also benefit from that. Having a game day dress rehearsal in the form of a preseason event, preseason weekend. So at least once these guys can kind of try it and see, okay, that's not feasible. Yes, that works well. Here's the timing. Here's the time that we need allotted for these tests in addition to all of our other game day planning. I mean, it's something that I would think they'd want to run through at least once before they actually, strap on for the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so I'm going to run through a bunch of these because you're offering some great answers. Very popular answers, barbecue, among the finest of America's foods, for sure, but there have been some unique answers as well. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This is from Ryan. I thought about fried chicken, Oreos, grits, and a ham sandwich. Could you imagine someone comes from across the globe? What's your finest American food? Oreos and a ham sandwich. So good. Let's see. Andrew says a good food to try if someone wants to try something new. A good old grilled hot dog with mustard, chili, and coleslaw. No. Okay, maybe the hot dog, but do we have to put the coleslaw on it and serve that to someone who knows nothing about American food? Joseph says chicken wings from Buffalo or barbecue. Will on Twitter, most American food has to be pork barbecue, chopped or pulled, vinegar or mustard. Nothing says America like open pit smoked pork. Chris, nothing says America like open pit smoked pork.
that sounds like some deep South good fried cooking. That's what
it does. Okay,
like.
Do you have a couple before I get to Facebook?
Yeah, you know, I thought about it long and hard. I listened to all the answers from throughout the show, and I think the answer that I've come to is a good old-fashioned hamburger, lettuce, tomato, onion, ketchup, mustard, maybe even a little mayo, throw some cheese on there, maybe a little bacon if you're feeling frisky, and that is America defined.
That is the finest that we have to offer. I mean, you can't go wrong with a burger. So, well, I guess if you don't like beef, you can, but that's unfortunate then. I'm not sure if you're American. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. Oh, my gosh. Don't at me. Let's see. Kenneth on Facebook, no one's mentioned Southern fried chicken. Kelly says definitely grilled anything. Burgers, hot dogs, squash, pineapple, corn, and fried chicken. Also, she says homemade ice cream. A few people have said ice cream, but I don't know that we can claim ice cream. Now, we have maybe perfected ice cream, but I don't know that we can claim it. Let's see. Jeff says a grilled ribeye with bacon-wrapped asparagus. Yes. That's one of our finest foods. Bacon-wrapped asparagus. Oh, my gosh.
Bacon-wrapped anything.
Yeah, well, okay, but asparagus is just so obscure. Joey, Chesapeake, Maryland, steamed crabs and corn on the cob. I've seen a bunch of you from the Maryland area telling me that steamed crabs and corn on the cob is the go-to meal if you're looking for good old American foods. Robert says Lake Erie walleye. Now, fishing, I love that. Now, I don't know if we can claim it. I mean, there are many nations around the world that have fish and seafood, but we do have some unique fish in the United States of America. Bobby, fried chicken, ribs, baked beans. Steve, chicken fried steak and chicken fried chicken. Jerry says, now we can't claim spaghetti, you goofball. He says blueberry pie, Cracker Jack, Pop Tarts, donuts, and pumpkin spice everything. Oh my gosh. Kevin says buds and burgers. And Jason, I like this one, says hamburger, which was invented in Athens, Texas. There you go. Very cool. What are America's finest foods? I mean, we're going to sample many of them coming up this weekend on July 4th. And this is kind of our attempt to highlight some of the unique and wonderful qualities about the United States of America. So we'll have one more category as we wrap up four for the fourth. Thursday night into Friday. I know many of you will be starting your holiday on this Thursday afternoon, but we hope that you will join us after hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on Twitter as well. It's always good to have you alongside. Thanks for being part of our show on CBS Sports Radio.
Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.